Hello there, you piano folks don't want to mess with them. I understand. You may be seated. What a joy it is to know Jesus Christ. What a privilege to serve on His behalf and to bring glory and honor to His name. And God's been allowing me to do that for a lot of years now. And I appreciate, again, you folks putting up with me for so many years and revival meetings as well as doing the camp when it was here. Wasn't that a fun time? I remember the one destructive time we got in trouble for this one. Remember we had that tennis ball shooting machine, and we did Saddam Hussein's Revenge, and I happened to be Saddam Hussein, and it was a rescue mission of teenagers to go through this obstacle course, and my privileged opportunity was to shoot as many teenagers as I could. Now, the way we got into trouble was, and boy did we get into trouble, was the old barn. And there were a few windows still left in it. There weren't very many left after we got done with the activity. We kind of pelleted the barn, to say the least. And we got a little comment about that one, to say the least. But it was a fun time nonetheless. Pray for my wife. She's doing well. She sends her greetings to you. My wife, and this is another thing that happened to us that I didn't share in Sunday school. My wife has Meniere's disorder, which is vertigo on steroids. And it got so bad, she's had it about 15, 16 years, but about 5 or 6 years ago, it got real bad, where it would attack her. I mean, she'd be just standing here and throw her to the ground violently, without warning. And, of course, the first few times, we thought it was pretty funny. But when the debit we did, it was bad. But we thought she was faking it. But after we found out how devastating this was, folks, you know, when you go on a merry-go-round, you go around and around this way, her whole world would go like this. And it would last for about 2 hours. It would drain every ounce of energy out of her she had. And the recovery was usually 2 to 3 days. I would literally have to grab her under her arm and carry her almost to the restroom and that sort of thing. So we went to Duke and they cut her balance nerve. And we got two of them, okay, on each side. But it cut the balance nerve so she wouldn't have the violent attack. She still has the Meniere's. She still feels like she's going to go into a spin, and she's like a barometer. She knows the storm's coming before the Doppler radar. Are you with me? It's just that sensitive. She has some just anxiety things that just overwhelm her, but you'd never know it. I mean, she would never let you know. She hears roaring in her head all the time and a ringing like 10 at night all the time. I mean, this loud, people, and it'd drive the average person bonkers, but she's such a godly, grace-filled woman and such a blessing. But she sends her greeting, and she does hate that she had to miss this opportunity, to say the least. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at today's challenge. I've got a great quote from you that I got from my pastor. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the Sunday school we've already enjoyed. And Lord, how you enriched our lives through that time, gathering around the Word of God. But Lord, as we have this challenge, as we seek to again be revived, stirred up in our hearts, so we're prepared, God, to do more for your call, for your bidding upon our lives. God, I pray that during this worship service, we will be very careful to listen to what you have for us. And then, Lord, we'll respond in submissive, yielded obedience to you. And Lord, I pray as you instruct us from on high, we will have understanding through the Holy Spirit. But Lord, get past our stubborn flesh will and God, submit to be a doer of these truths. Lord, there are a lot of people compromising today. A lot of folks who have quit on faithfulness to your work. God, don't let that be this people, this church, this ministry you've called out to reach this Jerusalem, to see souls saved and lives changed, impacted for all eternity. So God, again, we love you. We thank you for this time. Help us to be careful, God, not just to again learn today, but respond tenderly to what you would have set forth. We praise you, God, and thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I know I'm in New England. I was up in Dover last week. I've been up here enough, folks, that I'm tired of the excuse, well, that's just the way New England people are. No, folks, you know what? Selfishness abounds in New England as well as any other state or country I've been in. And comfort zone is still the popular choice of responding to the work of God and the Word being presented. Don't use your heritage or maybe where God's parked you geographically to not fall submitted and broken before a holy God. You know me, folks. I'm going to give an invitation every service, and you expect me to preach faithfully, present what you need to hear. Well, I expect you just as much to respond broken and yielded as a steward to God's teaching to your life. So we don't respond much. I think you need to get in that habit. Folks, there's something very impacting about being broken and humble before a holy God, but also before our peers. I don't understand how it works. I understand it's not popular today, but I still see the lasting impact it makes when we leave us being in control and yield to what God would have done unashamed concerning God's work in our hearts and our testimony for Him. Now, I've given this philosophy here before, no doubt. But folks, you know what? I think invitations do like a threefold thing. Now, most certainly it brings impact to your heart. Praise the Lord for that. But it also is a time of ministry unto others. When you respond, you may be that encouragement factor to that person that's not as tuned in or sensitive or mature to the work of God that you have allowed God to, again, work in your heart. But folks, one of the things I like about an invitation the most, and some of you look scared already, what I like the most about an invitation, it kicks the devil in the ever-loving teeth. He hates when you are unashamed and bold to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Now, does this make sense to you like it does me? If we have trouble doing that here, how hindering, how hesitant will we be when we go out to a world that hates us and looks to kick our teeth in? Could it be, folks, that we're not in the habit of saying yes to God and responding and moving when He says move, and again obey as He seeks to lead our lives? We use our personalities. We use our heritage. We use circumstances as an excuse to bypass faithful yieldedness to whatever God orders up. And I think that's even a problem as we face invitation opportunities like we're going to be faced with all week long here. Now, I have been blessed as an evangelist, as a preacher, as a Christian, to be under some of the most phenomenal preachers of our time. The first fundamental church I was a part of was Grace Baptist Church in Muncie, Indiana, under Dr. Collins Glenn. Folks, he's 80 years old. He just took another church. What a testimony of faithful. I'm doing a revival for him this fall. I tell you, I'm excited to be here, but I'm real excited. Guess where he is? He's in my hometown of Dunkirk, Indiana. You know, a half mile down where we had our family car dealership. He's more excited than I am about what God is going to do in our revival time together. Dr. Glenn, folks, if you've never heard him preach, he is one of the most phenomenal Bible expositors that you'd ever, ever, ever get to be around. That's a blessing from on high, and I thank God for it. But I wasn't cheated in another opportunity. I was staff evangelist at Colonial Hills Baptist Church, where Chuck Phelps is now, where we heard the tragedy of the bus, you know, tipping over and those folks being killed. I was staff evangelist there for 21 years under this rookie guy named Bob Taylor. Now, Bob Taylor, campus pastor at Pensacola for a lot of years, but I tell you what, folks, he's one of the dearest friends I've ever had. And, you know, he's got Parkinson's, and he still beats me at golf. I hate the man, okay, in that sense. He walks with a cane. He gets up, and this is amazing. He kind of wobbles his way up to the tee box. He plants his feet, and boom, he doesn't hit it as far as he used to, but he still places it exactly where it's supposed to. I hate it. I'm just bitter. Okay, that's all there is to it. It was just kind of frustrating. But Bob Taylor, I don't remember a time under his preaching or under personal fellowship that I wasn't fed. The guy always nailed it and nailed it down as far as what faithfulness is and how to live from a biblical perspective. Well, you know what? I really was not anticipating moving to Greenville. Doesn't everybody eventually live in Greenville? That's just kind of the way life is. It's Greenville than heaven. It's kind of like, you know, going Delta through Atlanta. You know, it just happens. Well, what happened, I go down to Greenville, and I'm in one church, and I'm not satisfied with where they're heading and what's going on. So God allows us to go to Faith Baptist there in Taylor's, John Bond's old church. Now they got a new guy named John Monroe. I'm amazed. Young guy, not apologetic for telling people they're sinners and need to. He sounds like an obnoxious evangelist. I mean, he tells people in a confrontational way what they need to be and what they need to do and how they need to get busy for Christ. But he is such a phenomenal teacher of the Word of God. I sit under this guy. Now, folks, he's got distractions like most people never have distractions. He has 8 children. Let's hear a moan from the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, I know what you're thinking. You're going, oh, my. Now, no wonder the guy's in his office so much studying. He's getting away from the family chaos, and that's probably some of the truth. But this guy, again, is so incredibly gifted and filled with the power of God's working to present the Scripture. He gave me this quote while I was on my voice rest endeavors. I really enjoyed it because I got to hear him preach more than normal. But let me give you this statement. I'll give it several times. Now, I don't tell people to write stuff down all the time. That's your own choice. I think it's a good habit to get into. But this is a keeper statement of, again, just a whole package deal of how our Christian life's supposed to be, and just, you know, just some short statements here. Here's the whole thing. What you forget, you cannot appreciate. What you fail to appreciate, you will fail to value. What you fail to value, you will not give your life to. So let me do that one again. What you forget, you cannot appreciate. What you fail to appreciate, you will fail to value. And what you fail to value, you will not give your life to. Now, folks, I know the crowd I'm preaching to, and I hope you all know this. I think you should, at least. You know, folks, we're supposed to be here for Jesus. He is our foremost all the time in all things. And if you're not, again, in that relationship of right yieldedness and submission, you're not right with God. Christ must not just be a big part of your life or a tag on. Jesus must be your all in all, or you'll not be faithful. You'll not be fruitful. You'll not be fired up and excited about the will and working of God. Your all should be for Him. The question is that your life? And hopefully, as you are convicted from the preaching of God's Word, you'll do something about that. You'll make an obvious choice, just like when you trusted Jesus as Savior. You made a free will choice to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus. Now, if you haven't done that, you can't do anything to be pleasing in God's sight. You don't have the wherewithal. But if you're truly saved, just like He made the decision to have Jesus Christ, again, receive that free gift and Him to be your Savior, you need to do that as far as this submissive, you're my all in all thing. You've got to make that obvious. Now, here's the problem. We get out of the habit of trusting God, don't we? We get out of the habit of truly yielding ourselves like we may be once committed for Christ to be our all in all. And that leads us back to that first point of this little statement I gave you. What you forget. Could we? Do we forget God? Folks, I'm telling you, it happens all the time. It's happened since man started worshiping God. Have you read your Bible lately? The guy that just went through the whole Bible, you know, and read from cover to cover. Did you notice 3 words that popped up a lot in the Old Testament? They forgot, they forsook, and they followed after other gods. Wasn't that the testimony and even the statements over and over again in the Word of God? They forgot, they forsook, and they followed other gods. People, I'm telling you, that's what's happening today. That's what, again, the devil's using to keep us from keeping on, and sacrificially giving ourselves unto God. Now, I tease people all the time about getting older. You know, I told the folks in Sunday school I turned 60. The problem is, with my head, I've looked like I've been 60 for about 20 years. You know, I have these punk kids come to me all the time. Mr. Mayor, you know what? You look just like you did when I was this. And I said, did I really look this bad back then? You know, that's my common statement back. But, you know, I tease people. I forget more than I remember. I tell people all the time, I carry my driver's license for legality, but also it has a picture on it so I can remind myself who I am. But folks, I've made a commitment in my life, I will not forget my God. And can I tell you, if you don't do that on purpose, you will forget your God. Oh, you'll know you're saved and you'll remember the Bible stories and this, but you'll forget who He is in comparison and conjunction who you are. And guess what? You're still not God. You still have not arrived. And God still should be in control of who and what you are, to use you not the way you choose to be used, but the way He will direct you in a sacrificial, fruitful, God-honoring way. We must never allow ourselves to forget our God, our friend, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, folks, God knows this is a problem for all of us. That's why He has given us the Word of God. Isn't the testament of the old and new a reminder of who God is and how great He is and greatly to be praised? That's why He says, search this Scripture daily. Meet with me. Let me unveil myself unto you every single day. Now, I want to show you an example of God saying, don't forget me. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Joshua, would you please? Go to Joshua chapter 4 to be specific. And I'm going to give you two examples here. And what happens is God parted the Red Sea. He parts the River Jordan. Of course, during the high season, it wasn't like a dry, riverbed. But God's people crossed the Jordan on dry ground. But before God closed the river, He sets up a memorial of remembrance. And again, it's important because, folks, even in this passage, it's mentioned twice in this same portion of Scripture. Look now with me at Joshua chapter 1. This is just an example, folks. You'll see these throughout the Word of God. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 1, it says, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people of every tribe of man, and command them, saying, take hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and lead them there in a lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God unto the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. Now, folks, this wasn't wimpy. This is pretty good substance here. Every man a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? What are this pile of rocks all about? That ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial, a reminder unto the children of Israel forever. Well, the children of Israel did so. As Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and there they are unto this day. Now, that's reminder number one. Let me show you the same thing in this passage. Go with me to verse 21. In verse 21, he says, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, now when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then shall you let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan to dry land. Now, folks, look up here. Let me park on that particular thought for just a moment. We need to constantly echo in the ears of our children how great our God is. That's why it's good to keep a journal. Count your blessings, name them one by one. When you're 60, you have time to reflect. I hope God gives me another 10, 15, 20 years of faithful, active service. But if He doesn't, I pray I get done as much as I need to get done now while I'm still able to do it. But one thing as far as looking back, something of regret, and I've messed up a lot in different ways, but here's one that breaks my heart abundantly. I don't think I communicated that to my children as well as I should have. In the midst of trying to help them be spiritual, as a young parent, you almost try to force it or make it happen instead of being faithful to God yourself. And then reminding these kids over and over again how good God is and how it's wonderful to be a Christian. I was a push-shove, get-it-done dad. Because I was such a reprobate as a kid. I didn't get saved until I was 22 and I was so zealous, but had a zeal many times not according to knowledge. You need to have fun with your kids, dad. Hear me? Yeah, it's a serious business helping them know Christ and live for Jesus, but they need to see the joy of Jesus in your heart. They need to see how excited you are about loving God, serving God, doing His will. But if you're a grump, if you're complaining, you're not remembering God and rejoicing in what God has done, what God will do, what kind of lesson are they going to learn?
not the right one. And they'll miss out on, again, a right remembrance or understanding of how good and how perfect our God truly is. So the first instruction, we've seen it twice in this passage already, let your kids know how great God is. Now, grandparents, you blew it, didn't you? Maybe as a parent, okay, don't blow it as a grandparent. Now, I have a zillion. I've lost track how many grandchildren I have. No, I told you how many. But you know what? I make sure at every turn and opportunity, I share with them how good God is. I try not to growl about my aches and pains or maybe financial woes or again this, that, and the other. I try in their ears and hearts to whenever we're together have the best time we can. Don't you love spoiling your grandkids? They will need false teeth by the time they're 14 with all the junk I feed them and an excuse for me to eat it too. But you know, all the times we're together, I try to be faithful with this principle. And I just tell them how good God is. You know, I call them on the phone or we do the Google. You know, have you known folks are Skype? Any folks technically, do they have internet up here yet?
I even have it in my Leon special over where I'm staying this week because I tapped into theirs. It's illegal, but they gave me permission. So what happens, folks, you know, used to do the Skype thing. Now we do Google. There's this thing called Google Plus, and six of us can be on at the same time. Talk about mass confusion. Because whoever's talking comes up on the screen. So I've got my son down in Tampa and his wife. I've got Mike on his computer. I've got Collie and her tribe, you know, on her computer. And then my wife and then me. It is a fun, blessed opportunity. But I tell them who got saved. You know, how God worked in our meetings. You know, how God has just, again, blessed us and helped us as far as ministry. Why do I do that? Because I'm being a braggadocious guy. I sold 35 CDs. Yes, I did. I passed down about 15 glossies of Mike Maynard's shiny head. No, I don't do that. Well, maybe some, but no, I don't do that. I tell them how good God is and how God has blessed us. And we don't deserve it, but you know, God is so faithful. I know you're frustrated. Parenting sometimes is a major pain. You know, grandparenting sometimes not fun in the midst of stuff you're going through. But you know what? God's still good. And we still have a responsibility of testimony. Yeah, your big toe hurts. Can I say big deal? Get over yourself. You know, my wife again is in pain all the time, but she gets past that through the grace of God to be a testimony of God is so good and rejoice. Is she always that way? No, I'm not that way all the time. I'm being real here, folks. But you know what? The reason I go contrary to faithful testimony is because I focus on poor Mike instead of wonderful Jesus. We've all been there. We've all done that, sad to say. Let me keep reading here. First of all, make sure you tell your children, your grandchildren, constantly remind them of the goodness of God, how He's blessed you in the past, how He's blessed you right now where you are, and how you're looking forward to His working in the days to come. Then it gets broader and bigger, folks. In verse 23, it says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we were gone over." Now here's the next opportunity of ministry. That all the people of the earth. I'd say that's pretty broad. I'd say, folks, that's an endless, daily, blessed privilege of ministry to again tell people about the greatness of your God. I don't care if you work at Home Depot. I don't care. Sorry, brother. You're the only one I know that works somewhere other than here, okay? So I have to kind of pick on you. You know, I don't care where you are. You're there as a missionary to tell how good God is. This is pretty funny. I was in Home Depot this week up in Dover. Actually, I was in Somerville. And I'm on my cell phone. I get a text message. And I'm walking down the aisle. I can multitask. I'm walking and looking at this text message. And there's this rather well-upholstered cashier. Fat guy. Y'all with me, okay? A very, very well-rounded individual. And he says, "Is that for me?"
I said, well, matter of fact, I think it is. It says take the rest of the day off. You've got a free pass to the beach, and you can, when you get there, they're going to give you all the lobster you can consume. And he looked at me sadly, and he says, oh, I just can't go to the beach anymore.
That's funny.
I said, well, sir, why not? He says, every time I go to the beach, the kids keep trying to throw me back in the water.
Somebody to get later, okay? You know what? This guy didn't have a clue about Jesus. Not a clue. But I shared with him the goodness of God. His saving grace.
I was embarrassed for this guy. I'm thinking, he's going to get canned. Because they don't work too hard at Home Depot. Whatever. And I said, you know, I thought this guy's going to get canned. He's standing there talking to people. I mean, we would talk probably 15 minutes. The guy had no foundation, no clue, people, concerning what you take so for granted. That God is so good. And so good to you. You know, that's why the world's a mess. They need your God. And how are they going to hear that? From Obama? No. From our Congress? You know, our Senate? No, people. They're going to hear from the liberal churches out there that are partying for Jesus, boogieing, getting down, get up again? No, they're going to be more confused than convinced of the goodness of God in a biblical fashion. So, what's your excuse? Why aren't you faithful in your ministry to tell people how good your God truly is? Now, folks, I've been thinking through this a bunch because, again, I'm not just to put together a message, but to make sure that I don't forget my God. Let me give you the statement again for those that are still bitter. I read through it too fast. What we forget, we do not appreciate. And what we fail to appreciate, we fail to value. And what we fail to value, we will not give our lives unto. Now, what is it, folks, that we forget about our God? Kids, you need this real personally in your heart, too. This is just not for the adults. You know, I remember the restrooms were all at this end of the place, okay? It used to kind of confuse me why people would stand up and walk during my message, but yeah, I know the problem now because I've been here and I remember. All right, that, like, because every eyeball went this direction instead of looking at me. That's why I did a little hesitation reminder to look back up here. Now, let me give you about five things, folks, that we must not forget concerning our God. Y'all with me? You with me? All right, here's number one. I think, first of all, and probably way too much, we forget how much He loves us. You know what, folks? If you reflected on that alone, you wouldn't be on the sideline. You wouldn't be doing your thing. And that's even a testimony of Jesus directing us. If you love me, what? You're going to do what I say! You're going to keep my commandments. You will want to please me. Why is it telling sight? You love someone or something else more than Jesus? Because that's what you appreciate. That's what you value. That's what you give your life to. And that's why you're coming up short and empty as far as your soul winning. And your discipleship. And your faithful sacrificial ministry for the cause of Christ. You forgot my God. And you forgot a very important bottom line factor. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Secondly, we forget what He did and what He does to demonstrate His love. Folks, when's the last time you just sat and meditated on that Jesus died for you? Yeah, you know, we all are sinners deserving hell for all eternity. But God sent His only begotten Son to die to atone for our sin. Through His shed blood on the old rugged cross, we have the privilege of being in the presence of God in a perfect place called heaven for all eternity. That is how much God loves you. Have you forgotten that? Have you been saved so long, consumed with doing your so-called spiritual thing, that you don't even appreciate and show faithfulness for the very fact that Jesus loved you enough to die on your behalf? Now, it's hard to think it could get any more loving and any better than that. But folks, He not only died for us, He ever lives on our behalf. He ever lives, folks, through the Holy Spirit of God to give us whatever it takes to show our love. To be faithful, to be fruitful, and again, impacting for all eternity, the way He saved and called us to be impacting for all eternity. Yeah, He loves us, folks. He died for us. but He ever lives again to give intercession on our behalf and help us to be faithful to His will and working. Number three, have you forgot this? That His way, His will is perfect. That He only wants to bring what's best for us and what's needed to complete our lives. Is it Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 still a truth of our, again, faithful life? Ye are complete in your bank account. You're complete in your job. You're complete even in your ministry. No, you're complete in Christ. Period. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. You get past that, folks. It shows me you've kicked out of who God is. You've forgotten what God saved and called you to be and do. And who should be more important than anything else you're a part of. And I don't know where I'll throw this statement in anywhere else in the, I'm not preaching these messages that I remember. May use this with the teenagers. But here's a statement that God burdened my heart with just a few years ago. When Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful. Is that a good statement? When Jesus ceases to be precious, man ceases to be faithful. That means He's your love, your all the time. That's not just an add-on precious, oh, I love Him, yeah. No, He is your love. Your life, your all the time. Everything revolves around Him. And again, making sure that you're pleasing in His sight. So first of all, how much He loves us. Secondly, what He did and does to demonstrate His love. Died for us, lives for us. Number three, His way, His will is perfect. He gives what's best and what's needed to complete our lives. And number four, and this goes with three to say the least, that He knows where we need to go and will help us get there. And here's the kicker, if we'll only let Him. You know, God still doesn't force His will upon our lives. He wants doing the will from the heart to be our response as His children. Not, oh, I have to hold a revival meeting this week. Doesn't He know I've got to work all day? I'm in this building. I'm in almost 24 hours a day away. And I've got to come to one of these revivals. Hear this ball at a time. Beat me up with a revival. I know. I do this all the time, people. But you know what? This is the right choice. This is the right place. I go to some meetings. And again, if this don't point if this is a personal application. But I go to some churches that I think the parents don't love their children. I really don't. Because they use the excuse, well, my kids go to bed early. Isn't 5 o'clock a little early to put your kids to bed? Does that show you just don't want to mess with them? Can I tell you, young parents, your kids need faithfulness to the local church more than they need their 8 o'clock bedtime? They need to see that testimony from you. They need to see by your choices and your adjustment of schedule what truly you value the most and what you've given your life to. I think parents use that as an excuse not to be convicted and challenged by the Word of God. Now, that's one end of the perspective. Let me go with some of the senior saints of God. We just don't drive at night anymore. You know, vanity's in abundance out there. It's danger on every turn. And even these old guys on the bicycles, they're scary people too. Are y'all with me, folks? Isn't it amazing how we can excuse our way out of making a right choice to receive what's best and needed for our lives, so we can be better equipped to serve and honor Him. Folks, other people still drive. They can see that hopefully will not get Bambi. And they can get you here if you make a right choice of faithfulness. But how many times, look, now that's an obvious one, folks, but how many times we do that daily in the very simple things of obedience to God's will, like reading our Bibles, memorizing Scripture, being a witness for Christ, training people, teaching faithful men to teach faithful men. Folks, again, it's a habit of your flesh that causes you to go contrary to, again, showing that God is your all in all and your love of life. He knows where we need to go, and He will help us get there if we'll only let Him. And this is the one I mentioned in Sunday school. He's God, and we're not. Have you forgot that? He's the boss. You're bought with a price. You're here to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. No, I got it. I got it. You don't got it. Okay, that's poor grammar, but y'all with me? You don't have a clue in comparison to God and what He knows is best and needed for you, me, and this lost and dying world. But because you have become so comfortable, so confident in your position, your so-called spiritual maturity of life, you're so immature in your thought process. You still think, I mean, you're in a rut. You're in a horrible, fleshly, directed rut of life that is again hurting your testimony. And again, hurting the work and will of God through this local church. This is a comfortable place to be. It's in a place of great conviction to challenge and change your life. It's what you do. It's not what you're trying to become through the working of God as the Word of God is being proclaimed. Brother Maynard, are you picking on us? No, I'm just telling you what happens in every church I go to. We forget God. We forget His perfect love and care. And therefore, we even forget about His will that we should be most consumed and concerned with. Because, folks, what we forget, we will not appreciate. What we don't appreciate, we will not value. What we do not value, we will not give our lives unto. Folks, some way we need to rattle up the rut program of our lives and make sure we don't forget God. Now, I loved when you guys had a camp here. It's probably nothing in comparison to that new camp up there, the Wilds. They don't know how to handle it and do it right like we did here. But you know what, folks? How many times at camp are kids given an opportunity to remember the decision they made? I mean, these Moody's would milk those poor kids for every dime they could get out of them, whether it's a little pen or maybe a picture or something. That's what every camp does. But why did they get the picture? Why do they give that little headband or that little t-shirt or whatever as a reminder of the decision they made at this camp with a concentrated time of preaching from the Word of God? And put it, teenagers, in a prominent place to remind you of the decision you made so you won't forget God and quit on that decision you made. It's the same thing for us adults. How stirred up and fired up were you when you, again, got past your excuses and went on a mission trip? Don't we bring home the dumbest things from missionary trips? Things we wouldn't buy any other time in any other place except of the impact God made on that mission trip. You know, that figurine or that poor looking pottery thing you picked up in Mexico that sells for like a penny at Big Lots. And you know, you bought that home and it's a treasure to you. And you have it in a prominent place as a reminder of how God so stirred your heart. How God used you in such a blessed way. That's a good thing, people. A good thing for you to do to remind yourself that God is still so very good and God has so blessed you, so enriched you, and you don't deserve a bit of it. I need to be faithful today. But folks, it's hard to remember someone that you don't even know to begin with. I think that's a big problem. You know, I don't know some of you very well at all because I've never really been introduced to you. I never had an opportunity of getting to know you like I would like to know you. But maybe the reason you're not having this testimony of God's goodness is because you really don't know Him personally. Yeah, you know Bible facts. You're a church-going person, but you've never truly been born again. So you have no personal, intimate understanding of who Jesus Christ really is. Maybe that's some of the problem with some of these students back here who are slouching in their seat and almost asleep and still listening to Brother Maynard. I understand some of them don't understand what I'm saying, but you know what? You should all be on the edge of your seat, so excited to receive the goodness of God. And if it's not that way, something's messed up in your relationship between you and God. And maybe it is you just don't know Him as Jesus the Savior. You need to get saved today. Now, why not get to know Him better? You know why I know Eric so well? We spent way too much time together, okay? You know, we way too much. And I told Pastor something he didn't know. He's one of the funniest guys in skits I've ever seen in my... Pastor goes, Eric? I said, yeah. I tell you what, he's got the funniest, goofiest look. Not normally. I'm talking about the skit here. He's got the funniest, goofy timing, facial, whatever expressions. And it was so fun to be a part of that stuff. But you know why I love him more? Because I've spent a lot of time with him. I know the quality and character of him personally. And folks, the best way to get that relationship understanding with my Jesus, can I help you? Try reading your Bible. You know, try spending more time with Jesus than you do text messaging. Or on your little Facebook operation of life and living. Folks, my wife's a Facebook stalker. I'll tell you that right now. She knows everything about you people, and she doesn't even know you. And I teased her about that. And the other thing, you can become a Fox News junkie. You can. Can I tell you, you don't have to watch about 5 minutes of that because they repeat the same thing 3,450 zillion times. You know, if something new comes on, it'll be known, okay? But it's amazing how we spend time with stuff that really doesn't help us. And I'm a better steward, I understand that, a citizen and all, but nothing in comparison to how when you read this book, God has an opportunity to let you know who He is. To again motivate you with a heart filled with His goodness, His presence, His power, the person Jesus, to do not little, but a whole bunch for the cause of Jesus Christ. But folks, just like the children of Israel, what happens in our routine of Christian life? We forget, we forsake, and we follow other gods. And you want your children can be a sinful thing if you love your children more than Jesus? Your parents, your church, anything that takes precedence or preeminence over Jesus, folks, is a wrong choice. Because nothing should matter to you more than that which matters unto Jesus. And let me give you the quote again. When Jesus ceases to be precious, the love of your life, man ceases to be faithful. What do you give your life to? That shows what you appreciate, value. Because, folks, what you forget, you do not appreciate. What you don't appreciate, you will not value. And what you do not value, you will not give your life unto. Oh, folks, do with me in my heart commitment. Lord, I will not forget you. So bow your heads and hearts, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We are going to have a public invitation. We're not going to have it singing. I'm just going to have a pianist come. She can play anything on the piano that God directs her to play. And in just a moment, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor's going to be at the front. You know, he's available for counseling. If you need to be saved, he can show you or someone else will show you clearly. Young people, not so young, church members, visitors. We can show you without a question how you can know for sure Jesus as your Savior. We can't help you with that unless you give us an opportunity. Now, for those that are saved, have you forgotten my Jesus? Where are the evidences that He's a constant presence in your thinking, your life choices? What sin has entered into your life choosing that's caused you to be looking away from Him instead of to Him? I understand you've got to bring home the bacon, Dad. But you know what? Bringing home a testimony of faithfulness is much more important. Mom, I understand the frustration of trying to keep everything clean and everything this way and that way. But you know what? If you want to be a good mama, you'll be a godly mom. And you won't forget my God. Grandparents, whoever the case may be. You know, it's obvious what you love because that's what you give your life unto. It's supposed to be unto Jesus. Would you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Heads bowed and eyes closed as we have the invitation. The altar's open. You say, Brother Maynard, I can't kneel. Okay, come and sit on the front seat. Oh, Brother Maynard, I've never done this in my life. Try it. I think you'll like it. I think it'll be very helpful to you. But remember, it's not just for you. It's also an opportunity of ministry. It's also an opportunity of, again, saying, devil, get out of my face. I'm standing strong for Jesus. But as God works in your heart, don't you make the decision of what needs to be done. Ask God, let Him direct you, and don't hinder or quench the working of the Spirit in your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for an invitation opportunity. Lord, it started when I opened my mouth, even singing the first song here. Lord, I pray You'll bring conviction continually. I know You're convicting hearts. Lord, I know You've challenged folks through Your Word. Now, God, help them to do something about it in their heart commitment. Now, God, help them know, I understand, there's nothing magical about coming down to an altar. But again, something very impact as we say no to our flesh and yes to the leading of our God in whatever situation that may be. So, God, keep us tender. God, keep us yielded. God, don't let us take charge of that which belongs to You. And, oh, God, stir up even in this service an obvious revival fire, God, that will not go out. So, God, save those that are lost, and God, help us to be again faithful unto You. With heads bowed and eyes closed, as our pianist plays, pastor's down front, again, the altar's open, God's working in your heart. What a great combination. Won't you come as God deals with you this morning?
invitation to come by yourself.
Well, grab somebody next to you and say, hey, would you go pray with me? You know, I see it very tenderly in many services where a little 9-year-old, 10-year-old say, Mommy, I'm going to go forward. Would you come with me? Oh, it makes me cry. I just rejoice in that tender time. And, you know, the child wants to come, but who gets blessed the most? Usually Mama or Dad, who sees the tenderness and the faith of a little child. Now, you'd want them to come, wouldn't you, Dad? Mom, you'd love that, wouldn't you? But still, you resist that response in a way you're not comfortable with. What do you have to do with this? It's not about you. It's about honoring. It's about obeying. It's about not forgetting your God. And you can start that habit even in a service like this, where you turn your ear, your mind, your heart from what He's trying to direct you to do. Won't you come as our pianist plays? Folks are praying. God's working in hearts. If you can't physically do this, you just sit there in your seat and have a glory fit. Just rejoice in God's presence and who He is. How He so enriched your life and blessed you, really beyond description. But don't miss this blessed time of worship with your God. If I see you coming, I'll keep our pianos playing.
Friends, let us reflect on what's been said. We pray these things in Jesus' name.